This lesson, we're going to piece together. Last week, right, we were making these circles between the pelvis and the head, and so that you felt everything connected as a unit. And so today, we're going to piece together the center of you, and so then you're going to feel like your head, the middle, and the tail. Does that make sense? So it's lesson number 359. It's called the Tanden. So I'm going to see if there's a description. Yeah. So the Tanden, it's used in anatomy classes in Israel. It's the vertebra of the lower back or the lumbar vertebra. Okay, so on the front side of that area, as you're lying on your back, is where your belly button is. And so as you're lying on your backs right now, starting to sense how you feel. So again, this is lesson 359 called Tanden, and I called it bending knees and elbows. So as you draw some awareness to your backside, and you feel your pelvis and then your shoulder blades, right? So then there's this area of our lower back. And you know, it's so interesting with language because we say lower back, but for most of us, it's vague where that location is, right? So it's this area above where your pelvis is, right? So if you put your hands like on the side of your pelvis, what we also call the hips, right? That's really your pelvis, that big bony part, right? Okay. So, and if you start to sense right around the back side, that's the beginning of the lower back. So where the pelvis is where you go into your sacrum. And then the center of your lower back is up about 2 inches, right where the belly button would be, right? So if you were to drill through your belly button to the backside, that is really the center of your lower back. Hence, that's the area that is probably not touching the floor. It's slightly arched, right? But now it's just really good to know, like, I think most of us think our lower back is down where the sacrum is, right? Lower down. We think down in the pelvis is where our lower back is. But your lower back is actually higher than you think. So we're going to really pay attention to this area that they call the Tanden, because what also occurs there is the relationship, and this is for you today, breath and breathing. Because back to that area where the lower back is and sensing the belly button, on the front side, right? So again, if you were to drill through you from the belly button and go through to the front of the spine, that is where your diaphragm attaches, right? So a lot of people don't realize that their diaphragm attaches to the lumbar part of your spine. Why is this so important? Because many of us don't have a good grasp on our breath and breathing. We end up holding our breath a lot. And that holding intention is reflective right back to the lower back. And it's one of those cases of what came first, the chicken or the egg, right? So do you hold your breath because you've injured your lower back or you have pain there? Or are you just in a bad habit of not breathing, and so that area got tense, and now your back is stiff? It really doesn't matter how you got there, but it's a common theme for a lot of people. So that's what we're going to work with today in relationship to your cervical spine and then your pelvis. Okay? So with your legs continued to be long, we're just going to draw some more awareness to that belly button area. And without changing anything, You just want to draw attention to your breath and breathing. And so what do I mean by that? I want you to pay attention to how do you inhale and how do you exhale. Right? Are you more a chest breather, you know, up in your lungs? Or is the belly moving? Or do you do a combination? I just noticed that. Okay, so from here, you're going to bend your knees and bring your feet to standing. And you'll see the moment you bring your legs up to standing, that flattens the lower back, right? So now your back is flatter in that area again called the tonden. So you're going to keep attention right where your belly button is and going through the backside, okay? And now you're going to continue to observe your breath and your breathing. And again, just noticing your inhalation and exhalation. And besides the inhalation and the exhalation, there's two other parts that are really important to your breath and breathing. And what those are pauses. And the pause allows you to transition. So, for example, when you take a breath in, at the end of the breath is a pause so that you can begin to exhale. And at the end of your exhale is a pause. So again, all you're doing is paying attention, observing now these four parts of your breath and your breathing. And where the breathing's occurring. And again, seeing now if there is a relationship between the chest and the belly, the tonden, and the diaphragm, the lower back area. Now, to help clarify this, we're going to go into what we've done before, which is an oscillating breath, so that you really experience the breathing in your lungs and then the movement of the diaphragm, understanding the use of the diaphragm. So now what you're going to do is, as you take a breath in, I'm just going to have you take a breath in into your chest and lungs. So that means when you breathe in, make your chest really big and suck your belly in. Pause and hold it, and then just exhale. And then do it again. So you take a breath in. Make your chest really big and large. Pull the belly in. And then exhale. And when you draw that belly in, right, you feel that a little bit more of the lower back comes to the floor. So drawing the belly in is also activating the diaphragm because it's a muscle. So again, we're just focusing on taking a big breath in, expanding the lungs, pulling the diaphragm and belly in, and then just exhale. You don't even think about what you do when you exhale. And then you just pause for a couple seconds and then you try it again. And just see how much can you expand those lungs. And see if you can feel the expansion of your lungs on all sides. So your lungs are along the front, along the armpit area, and into the back, inside where the ribs are. So you fill up the lungs in every capacity. It's like two balloons. Now, as you continue this just a little bit longer, you're going to draw awareness to your exhale. So when you exhale and release, the lungs empty out, but you feel your belly pushes out and forward, and you get a little bit of an arch in the lower back on the release. So you draw in and get expansive in the lungs, and then as you release it, you feel the belly comes a little bit forward and down, and the lower back arches a little bit. So the diaphragm pushes down. And when I say down, it's the area towards your pubic area down. And then you suck the diaphragm up again, and you feel that little bit of tug in your lower back. It flattens to the floor. And then you release it. The belly pushes a little bit forward, but more down towards the pelvic floor. The lower back arches. How are we doing? Excellent. Okay, let's let all that go. Let's lengthen your legs and just pause for a moment and just allow your breath and breathing to do whatever it's going to do. So it'll start to change, and you just are a witness. Okay, and you're going to bend your knees again, bring your feet to standing. And now we're going to primarily work this time with your diaphragm, your belly. Okay? So what I want you to think of is as you exhale, you're going to suck in your belly. So on the exhale, so you just take a breath in and then exhale, pulling your belly. And then as you inhale the next round, you push your belly out. You expand your belly. And then as you exhale, you suck it in. So again, what's really important with this is it's not your air, right? The air goes to the lungs. So what you're activating now is your diaphragm. So on the exhale, you suck it in, your lower back gets flat, and then as you take a breath, you push the belly out, like you're going to be pregnant. So push the belly out, feel the lower back arches a little bit when you do that. So the diaphragm is what pushes down and out, and it creates the arch in the lower back. And you exhale, and you suck in your tummy, and it flattens. Are we good? Are we confused? Push out, right.
Only breathe properly when you're laying on your back, I guess, because I have more of a chest breathing. And it just made me just fought bad memories.
Yeah.
So I don't know what a small diaphragm really means. Do you just need your muscles really
small? You know, that's a really good question. So let's just pause for a minute, rest your legs. So what she's saying is she was told she has a small diaphragm. You know, It's not my favorite thing when people tell people things, doctors say things like this, right? Because it creates a whole world inside of your head. Like, what do we do with that language, right? Small diaphragm. What that would do to me, I can speak about me, not you, right? Not to put you on the limelight here too much. But if somebody said, oh, you have a small diaphragm, right? I would think in terms of, oh, it's small, it's not efficient, it's not weak, you know, and somewhat confused. And so what does that mean anyway? How is that going to affect me, right? And it's really unfortunate because doctors and people like that don't realize the power of their language. It would have been best to not say anything to you. Because whatever goes through our head is what we're going to do. We will take that language and it's what we will do with our life. It is really potent. We should be much more cautious about our language, right? But that's where
I've been 20 years and I still don't know what it means.
Well, and to be honest with you, I don't think it has any meaning.
You said I breathe wrong, that's why I was small.
No one breathes wrong. Right? If you breathed wrong, you'd be dead. So the fact that you're all laying here on the floor is a good sign. It's what happens is many of us, as we go through life, right? I started off the lesson this way, have had some form of maybe injury, something occurred, or trauma, or, you know, and whether you went into it's a lower back issue or a breathing issue of holding that creates, I'm going to use a different word. It creates a disruption. So most of us have disruptions with our breath and breathing that can allow it to be a little off and maybe not as effective. But you're breathing and you're alive. Right? Right? So, and how we got there, we all have a way. But whether you have a small diaphragm, a large diaphragm, right? You know, it's like my uterus is upside down. You know what? I didn't know that till I turned 40. No other gynecologist told me that. And it doesn't matter. It's upside down, right? It's not, hasn't changed anything. It's just, right? So again, sometimes, so I don't think it has any meaning. Whether it's small, large, so maybe you can just let that go now after all these years. But what we're learning today is how to use your diaphragm and how that is part of your breathing. Okay, so back to bending your legs. So now we're going to do what's called the oscillating breath and breathing. Okay? So remember how I had you take in a breath and fill your chest, right? And then I let you exhale. Well, this go around, you don't get to exhale. So again, have your legs bend and stand. So this is how it goes. So listen to the directions first before you try it. So what you're going to do this time is you take in a breath and you fill your lungs, right? Because that's what you fill up with air. And your belly sucks in, but you're going to hold your breath. What does that mean? That means you're not allowed to exhale. Holding that breath, you're going to push down so your belly gets big and your chest flattens. The air is not leaving your lungs. All you're doing is activating the diaphragm, okay, to make the belly push out. And then you pull it back in. So you're going to do a push, pull. And the whole time you hold your breath. And you try to do 3 rounds and then let it go.
3 rounds of push, pull?
Yep. Okay, and this, the hard part for some of you is holding your breath. If you've had some issues with breathing, you're terrified to hold your breath. So take in a breath, hold your breath, push the belly out, then suck it back in, push it out again, right? Nothing's changing with your breathing. You're holding the air. You do 3 rounds and then you let it go.
Okay.
So take a breath in, big breath in the chest, suck the belly in, hold it, push that belly, pull back up. Push, pull. And then release. So your mouth should be closed, and if you don't think that you can hold your breath, you can pinch your nostrils. Are we good? Does everybody think they're doing it? So let's go through it again. Push, pull. So what's super cool about this is you're developing the power of your diaphragm, which is going to support your lower back function. So whether your diaphragm is small, short, whatever, probably for most of us, what I'm guessing maybe they meant is it was weak. So if it's weak, your back's weak, there's a lot of holding going on in the pelvic area, right? So this is making it stronger. And again, why would it be weak? Something that happened maybe in your childhood, adolescence. Try it again and make it a little quicker. So take in a deep breath and then push, pull, push, pull, push, pull. Push, pull, push, pull. Make it real fast. Fast, fast, fast. Fast, fast, fast. And feel how that moves your whole spine. When you finally exhale, let it all go. You don't think about sucking in or anything. So you take a big breath in the chest. That's when you suck in. You hold it. Push, pull, push, pull, push, pull. Very good. So that's the next level that this connects to, is your bladder. So it's seriously, this is like Kegels, right? If you're pregnant and you want to push a baby out, push. It's that diaphragm. You push, but it's also like pushing to go to the bathroom. Folks, it's all there connected. Hence, people that have issues with the diaphragm, issues with the lower back, have issues with constipation, have bladder issues. It's all one big pond that you're swimming in today. They're all interrelated, right? I mean, it's all interrelated. And the mistake they make when they teach Kegels, I taught my teacher this when I was pregnant, is they all work on the push. They don't do the pull part. To have a strong bladder, you have to have the push and the pull. You got to be able to hold. It's not all about just pushing. Okay, let it go, rest your legs. And just feel right now how your back feels, your pelvis. So if you're finding, I feel like a couple of you are going like, oh God, why are we doing this? You're the ones that need it more than anything. I mean, this is really, it is really, really important. Yeah, because when you go into that place, it's like a little bit of a resistance and like, why are we doing this? This is exactly what you need.
I'm still trying to bring together with a stroke.
With your stroke? What do you mean?
Well, because I think the swimming and intended.
And you don't have to worry about that. So it's a great thing that you're bringing up. So what you learn in here right now is super important. And where we're going with this, the next part of the lesson, right, is how do you move with this? But don't let anybody tell you how to breathe. Okay, again, If you, your system is so smart. If you had to think about breathing, you would be dead. Okay, there's just certain things wired in our nervous system based on survival. Eyes are another one. You don't have to think about your eyes. You don't have to think about breathing. Also, your mouth. You don't have to think about swallowing, talking, all the things that go on. If you did, we'd be dead. So what happens when you swim? It is the coolest phenomena because your breathing automatically changes. Just like if I have you roll over onto your stomach. So roll over onto your stomach. What happens when you're on your stomach? Tell me what happens with your breathing now. What happens? Where are you feeling your breath now?
My stomach.
Where are you feeling your breath now?
My belly. My belly.
Somebody else. Where are you feeling your... There you go. God bless it. You shouldn't be feeling it on your tummy because your tummy's pressed into the floor. There's no way you can be feeling it in your belly. So guess what's lifting now? What are we working with? The tendon. It's your new belly button. Feel the volume in your lower back, how it's lifting up to the ceiling. That's where you're breathing. Why? Because you've compressed your belly. You can't breathe on your belly. You guys just said that because you thought that's what to say, instead of really feeling what you're doing. Pay attention. Feel how the upper back lifts. Those shoulder blades. Feel how expansive you can get in the back side. This is one of the greatest reasons to be on your belly, because you get the backside, which is the largest part of your lungs, to fill up, and you get the diaphragm, again, with your lower back to free up. So there's minimal things going on the front side. You guys get that?
It still feels like my belly's pushing my back up.
Your belly's pushing your back up.
When I'm taking a breath, it's going to my belly.
Oh, you're taking a breath in, but my point is you're not expanding this way. You're expanding out here. You're expanding in your back.
Yeah, I can feel
it. Yeah. This whole part of you is lifting, and you're doing it beautifully. There's nothing lifting on the front side. You can't, because your belly's pressed into the floor. Mm-hmm. See, the beautiful thing with this work, right, you become aware, right, is learning about the conditions in the environment. Right now, the condition is the floor is restricting the front side of you. So you got to expand somewhere. Where is it going to go? So back to your question with swimming. Right, so what has to happen is more expansion here. And if this isn't familiar, it's hard, because most of us don't know how to get into the back of our lungs. We've been shallow breathing. Okay, roll back over now. Now with your legs long, you're going to start to do a movement with your legs and see the involvement. So you're going to first be a witness of your breathing and the tendon and your diaphragm. So now, first of all, once you've rolled over, notice the expansion in the chest now. Right? Feel, right? You have a much bigger expansion. Why is that? Why is your chest expanding more now? Huh? You're breathing in more deeply. Your body learned after compressing, oh, I want to fill that area up now. Now, can you also feel, as you're lying there, your breath is still in the back? Pretty cool. Okay, so the movement you're going to start to do, super, super subtle, is you're going to start to bend your knees, right? As if you're going to bring them up into your chest. Okay, but you need to go really slow with this. So as you start to bend your knees, you're watching with yourself. What do you do with your lower back? What do you do with the belly and the tanden? What do you do with your breathing? Okay? So now we're going into how does your breathing work with movement? We're just starting with the most subtle movement. It's a flexing motion, right? You're flexing, you're shortening on the front side. What happens? Huh? What does your lower back do? It flattens. And what happens when you lengthen the legs? It arches again. Right? And then that's when the belly expands. And then when you start to lift the legs, you pull the belly in. Right? The lower back flattens. The tanden, the diaphragm attaching to the lower back, helps draw the legs up. Huh? Excellent thing that she discovered, right? So, and you know what? I was just like you. So her back is not flattening. What does that mean? She what? No, what? What is it? She's not using her diaphragm. So when you're not using your diaphragm, it means you're going to do what? Excellent. You're going to use something else. She's all about her hip flexors. And the hip flexors is what makes the lower back arch. So how does this change? This changes just in the conversation, just having your awareness. So having your awareness of like, can I shift the bringing my legs up to occur from my belly and breathing, not from my legs? So cool. When you get it, it just like changes your life for understanding your legs.
I tried to bring it up from my lungs, and then it helped me realize how this didn't do anything.
Yes.
So if I'm hearing you correctly, when my knees are up, back flattens.
Right, but even before that, the minute you bend too much, the moment you bend your knees, whoa.
Okay.
The moment, right, there, and now bend them even more. And then bring them into your chest, you guys. So some of you are bringing them up to standing. Bringing them up to standing is not the same as bringing them up to your chest, right? So how many of you have done Pilates? Right, this is the most basic. So you probably didn't get Pilates. It's probably really difficult for you.
Well, I have to focus on it.
Right, this is 101 Pilates. This movement right here.
If I tuck my tailbone, it helps.
I don't want you to think of your tailbone. I want you to think of your diaphragm, right? So let the legs, so in time, the legs start to float up because the lower back is flattening. The knees come into the chest, you guys, not standing. Do you understand? If you're still, if your legs are standing, you're using your legs. That's it. And catch yourself. When your legs come into your chest, do you want to arch your lower back? And it's okay if the answer is yes. I was a yes. Because I was always using my hip flexors. I was a runner. I didn't know how to use my diaphragm. And this changed everything about my running. This is why I became such a good runner, when I learned to use my diaphragm instead of my hip flexors. Same with skiing. The moment they bend, you flatten your lower back. And you don't have to come up that high. You don't have to pull them up. Okay? Just feel, and then your neck flattens. Beautiful. Awesome. And then when your legs go back down, the back arches. That's when the diaphragm needs to release. Now, the biggest mistake a lot of people make, especially when they've been to Pilates, is they don't do the release. They think it's just about pulling the diaphragm in and holding it, and that will create back problems. So when you lower the legs, let the belly expand. That's your breathing in. The exhale is bringing the knees up. There. And now as you exhale, you lower the legs, the belly expands, and now can you feel the length of the spine and your head pulls down? Absolutely beautiful. When you get it, it's really profound. That's it, Nia. Yeah. And let yourself arch even more. You know, there's such a tendency for you to think about having a flat back.
I don't understand how the belly goes out. If I'm inhaling through my belly, and then I bring my legs up.
Nope. I just told you, you bring your legs up on the exhale. So you in, nope, your belly's not out, remember? You exhale, the belly sucks in to bring the legs up. That's it. And bend the knees. It's not a leg lift. It's bending the knees. Don't push out. You're pulling in. That's it. It's on the exhale. So take a breath in. Exhale. Now you inhale. Now exhale. There. Now push the belly out. There you go. So a lot of us are confused, right? Okay, now just let it all go and rest. Just let your system figure this. No, so there's a lot of confusion. Yes. And again, back, where does that confusion come from, right? So I'll tell you a little bit about me. It's not the most pleasant thing, but so my confusion came from when I was a little girl. I mean, all I remember, I held my breath a lot, okay? My first 6 years were not super peachy keen. So my dad had a little bit of a drinking problem. Came home, there was some violence. And so I used to hold my breath at night and put my ear against the wall to hear. So if I held my breath long enough, right, I could hear what state he would be in when he came home. Okay? Trust me, that defined me and my breathing a lot. Right? So I was confused too when I got in this work with breathing. Right? Why we do what we do, but if I didn't breathe, I could hear better. Right? So I really learned to have long periods of no inhalation or exhalation. Is that good? No. Good, right, wrong? But it's what I did, right? Because I wanted to be prepared for what was going to happen. I was scared. Most people in scary situations hold their breath. I'm sure I'm not the only one that's had a little tainted childhood. By the way, my dad's fabulous. So my dad stopped drinking and I have great parents, but you know, it was rough. Those first 6 years, it was, you don't know. You're a little child. You don't know what's going on. You don't understand what loud voices mean, and right? Loud noises. So we all have something that's disrupted, right? Could be a car accident. Something that's disrupted us with our own system. And today is about reconnecting your system. And many of us can go through the bulk of our lives not even understanding this, right? I mean, I'm so lucky that I found this work at 20, that I could start peeling these layers off and having clarity for myself. Things don't just show up out of nowhere. They occur for a reason. Okay, so let's go back to starting to do the folding, thinking of folding, right? On the exhale, so as you exhale, you feel the belly pulls in, the knees start to bend, that's it. And then when you lengthen them, is when you inhale and the belly expands. So now what you're looking for is a level of refinement. What does that mean? That means it's getting smoother. It's getting more familiar. That's it.
I think I was inhaling too soon, that's why.
Excellent. Okay, let's let your legs rest. Now we're going to do the upper part, which we've done before. Again, for some of you, you'll remember this. So you've got your arms, which are along your sides, and your head. And it's going to be the same motion with your belly and your diaphragm. So the moment you start to lift your head, and it's going to be as if you were going to lift your head and then lift your arms. You're not going to move your legs, but as if they were coming up, that you would be able to wrap your fingers around your knees. But we're just going to do the head and the arms. So the moment that this starts to occur, the tendon engages. Okay? Just like the legs. So, that's it. Excellent. So think of beautiful lifting your head and your arms. I always call it the zombie movement. You were coming like the Night of the Living Dead, coming out of the ground, right? The moment you lift your head, you should feel the tendon. It tightens, it flattens. You're on the exhale. Excellent. You inhale when you lower. That's it. Now, do you think you can piece in the legs? So at the same time, can your knees begin to bend? So again, you're thinking about as if you were going to fold. So your knees are bending, head's lifting, arms moving forward, and then you let it go. And keep it really simple. Don't do too much. How do you do that together? Right? So this is like, again, back to babyhood. The earliest movements for you as a baby. Excellent. Beautiful. And let it go and let's rest for a minute. Just feel resting. Feel how now your breath and your breathing is. What do you feel now for the expansion in your lungs? Feel how big your lungs fill up now. Right? And we haven't even been talking about your lungs. Right? So why are the lungs more efficient now? Why would the lungs be more expansive and more efficient? Yes! Because you're learning to use your diaphragm. So when you use the diaphragm correctly, the lungs get to do what they're really good at, which is fill up with oxygen and then expel your oxygen, right? Get rid of the CO2. Right? So you're actually getting a lot more oxygen right now. Right? So let's try it one more time. And whichever way, like for me, when because I was such a hip flexor person, it was easier to do the head and arms to engage. And then I wove in my legs. So I want you to play with, you know, maybe start with your head and your arms or start with your legs, and bring the head and the arms. Try a couple different ways of approaching it that would take you to another level of really feeling this, pulling in, the back flattening, the tendon, the strengthening of that diaphragm, and then the releasing of the diaphragm. That's it. Beautiful. Look at how long you can hold it now. Why? So when you lift.
Exhaling here.
Yep. Look at how long you can stay there. That tells you how strong your diaphragm is now. That's not such a big deal.
So that's why they tell you to think about breathing out so hard and swimming.
Breathing out is engaging the diaphragm, and then in is like the recovery. You know who uses their diaphragm a lot? There's three sports, but two that you can see it in a lot. Do you know which two sports that you can see use their diaphragms a lot? That's not a sport. Two sports. Well, swimming, but you can't see it. Basketball and volleyball. Because they're doing a lot of what needs the diaphragm is throwing up, the arms up. Okay, let it go and rest on your backs and just take a moment here to just really take in how you're breathing, how you're resting there. Just feel the expansiveness now that's occurred in so many places, but that your lungs are filling up on all sides in all directions. Feel how relaxed your belly, diaphragm, and lower back area is now. All right, so many of us aren't using the diaphragm. It's really tight. It's been held stiff. Right, so even with you lying on your back, you can feel your breath going into your back now. Roll your head a little bit to the right and left and see how that feels. And then taking your time, and do take your time, because you can, it's a really interesting thing. You know, you might feel a little bit lightheaded, and it's almost from getting too much oxygen. Most of us are so much holding our breath, we're depleted all the time. So if you feel a little lightheaded coming up to sitting, take your time, and then standing to see how you feel in standing.